Again, let's turn in our Bibles now to Genesis chapter number 20. And God has given us a wonderful text for a family integrated message. Brian had to be cryptic nearly his entire sermon last week. I will not have to be. Ours is super plain. It's great for your six-year-old, for your four-year-old, for everyone who's in the service. Let's begin reading in verse number 22 of Genesis chapter number 21. At that time, Abimelech, and that is the correct way of pronouncing it. Those of you who have to be here every week to follow along on some of that. And Phicol, which I have no idea if that's the correct way of pronouncing that. Is that correct, Aaron?
Oh, sure. Let's go with that.
All right, let's go with that. And he is the commander of the army. And so Abimelech is a king, and he has his commander. And they said to Abraham, God is with you in all that you do, which is an amazing sentence. It's one we dedicated an entire sermon to 2 weeks ago. Based on this, God is with you in all that you do. Now, therefore, swear, make an agreement, make a covenant with me. We're going to formally bind ourselves to a commitment, one to another. Now, therefore, swear to me here by God that you will not deal with me falsely or with my descendants or with my posterity. But as I have dealt kindly with you, as I have dealt kindly with you. These are the important words in the text. This is when you need to pay attention. But as I have kindly dealt with you. So the manner in which I've dealt with you, so you will deal with me and with the land where you have sojourned. And Abraham said, I will swear. When Abraham reproved Abimelech about a well of water that Abimelech's servants had seized, Abimelech said, I do not know who has done this. You did not tell me, and I have not heard of it until today. So Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and the two men made a covenant. Abraham set seven ewe lambs. I had to look that up. I'm an ignorant man. They're female lambs of the flock apart. I know all you farmers in the congregation knew that already. And Abimelech said to Abraham, what is the meaning of these seven female lambs that you have set apart? And he said, these seven female lambs you will take from my hand, that this may be a witness for me that I have dug this well. Therefore, that place was called Beersheba, because there both of them swore an oath. So they made a covenant at Beersheba. Let's pray. Father in heaven, come into our assembly and help me, O God, in spite of this cough in my throat, to get through the message in a way that is pleasing to you and that your people can understand it and that we can see the incredible application that's in the text for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So please be seated and let's get started with this great text. Let me get my clicker here. And so recall from last week, 2 weeks ago, God is with you in all that you do. There was something about the way Abraham lived his life that folks could see God was with him. And my goodness, if there's ever a day and a time when we don't need any more closet Christians, it's today. My goodness. We, the people of God in this auditorium this morning, who can come together and so boldly proclaim who Jesus is, need to be just as bold outside the doors. My goodness, we've got to start living our lives in such a way that folks can see God is with him. Obviously, God is with him. Man, God is with her. There's something different about the way she conducts herself. There's something different about the way he conducts himself, the way that family lives that would call others to take notice. If we want to be ready to give an answer about the hope that lies within us, then we have to live a life that reflects the fact that the hope is in us. We cannot allow the pressures of this incredible outside world. I mean, come on, folks. 21 months ago, they told us 2 weeks and we'll flatten the curve. Well, the curve ain't flattened a bit. And if we've been reminded of anything, it's that at any given time, God can rock our worlds. Think about what I'm saying. How many can remember when we preached through Revelation, we were talking about all the plagues and all those things when we preached through that text? And we were wondering, how in the world could a third of the world, and how in the world, and it seems so bizarre that any of that could happen. And yet here we are, 21 months later, still fighting a virus that we have no control over, and it's about time saying we need God.
That's right.
Yes or no, church?
Yes.
No vaccine, no pill, nothing can ultimately protect us. We need our God to do it. We need to live in such a way that folks say, God's with him, God's with her, God's with them. And that's how Abraham was living. And Abraham was no perfect man. The man was a sinner. He struggled like you and I did. He struggled with faith. He struggled with honesty. He struggled with being in this fallen world. So in spite of Abraham's previous sinful failing, King Abimelech still notices that God is with Abraham. So do the unsaved people I work and live with notice something different about me? Now look at verse 23. He says, now therefore swear to me by God that you will not deal falsely with me. Swear. He knows. What does he know? You just lied to me earlier. He's asking because he knows that in the previous encounter they had, there was an entire lie about Sarah being sister instead of wife. What a dichotomy. He sees the fact that God is with Abraham, and he knows that the man lied to him. And that's true about us. I'm not saying that you're a liar all the time, but clearly you're a sinner. In other words, you have failures. And yet you're trying to live your life in such a way that others can take notice of the fact that God is with you, and yet you have this nasty flesh that won't ever get away from you, and you deal with it on a daily basis. And that's Abraham, and that's us. And what I'm trying to suggest to you is, in spite of the fact that Abraham struggled with telling the truth in this situation, he still lived in such a way that folks saw God was with him. And one of the things that we need to do is we need to come clean when we're sinning. I did lie to you. I was angry. I was exasperated. I was selfish. Please forgive me. I was short with you. I was rude to you. I was inconsiderate. You are absolutely correct. I'm struggling with this area. That doesn't mean that folks can't see that God is with you. In fact, if you'll get honest and transparent and authentic with people, I mean, most people are plastic. And it's time for us to be honest about the fact that we do struggle with sin and that we are having difficulty with these situations, like Father Abraham, who also struggled. Now we get to the meat of the message. This is the essence of what I want you to remember this morning. Verse 23, I was working through this and trying to figure out, is there something here to preach? And shouldn't I just get to that great chapter 22, Isaac's sacrifice? That's going to be fun to preach. But I wanted to understand what was being said here. But as I have dealt kindly with you, so will you deal with me. What is he asking for here? Please understand, Abraham is the believer. And there's no indication that Abimelech is a believer. He's an unbeliever. So in other words, Abraham is showing us what it looks like to live in a fallen world surrounded by unbelievers that you work with, that you fellowship with, that you have to do your neighborhood with, that you're in a Boy Scouts club or Civil Air Patrol or any of the number of things that you do. And so the Abimelech wants a covenant. As I have dealt kindly with you, so will you deal with me. So you will deal with me. What's going on here? What is the king asking for between himself and Abraham? It's described as a covenant. What is this covenant? What is he asking for? As I have dealt with you, so will you deal with me. The king is asking for a reciprocal relationship. A reciprocal relationship. That is reciprocal, meaning returning the same way. Immediately, your brain should be running right now to the New Testament. You should be racing to the New Testament. Abimelech is asking Abraham to agree to live out Matthew 7:12. Go ahead and turn there. Go ahead and turn there. Matthew 7:12. Go ahead and take the time to turn there because I want you to get your pen out and I want you to underline it. And I want you to agree to committing it to memory. Matthew 7:12. And once you get there, you're like, oh, I know this verse. Again, let's connect the location or the address with what's in there. So King Abimelech is asking Abraham to live out Matthew 7:12 before Jesus ever spoke it. I have multiple translations on the screen for us to take a look at. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would do that men should do to you, do you even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. That's the King James. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. This is the law and the prophets. In everything, therefore, treat people the way, in the same way you want to treat you. This is the law and the prophets. In everything, treat others as you would want them to treat you, for this fulfills the law and the prophets. Always treat others as you would like them to treat you. This sums up the teaching of the Torah and the prophets. Therefore, whatever you want others to do, do also the same for them. This is the law and the prophets. I told you young people, I told you five-year-olds, Luke back here, I told all of you here, this is great. This is exactly what you want to teach your children all day long. Mom and dad, use every opportunity you have with the interaction between siblings to teach this biblical idea. What biblical idea? Treat people the way you want to be treated. I'm telling you, this is so ridiculously simple. You're like, couldn't he come up with something better? Yet this is incredibly important. Think about how profound this is, and yet it's so incredibly simple. In every situation that you find yourself in, do your very best to put yourself in the other person's shoes and then treat that person the way you would want to be treated. It's incredibly ridiculously simple. Isn't it? And yet it would virtually change the world. It would virtually change the world. It would have profound impact. If we could create a scenario whereby each and every person living in Fayetteville tomorrow, just one day, one Monday, if every scenario that you and I encountered all day long tomorrow, all day long, every single situation, we would say, I am going to treat you the way I would want to be treated if I was in your shoes. The Walmart cashier, the server at the restaurant you're going to, the bank teller at the bank you're going to see, the attendant at the place where you buy your big the energy drinks when you pay like $5 for those aluminum cans of pure energy. And, you know, she's in there making a little bit more than minimum wage. And you're exasperated that she's not as quick as you want her to be. And you're not thankful. And you're not expressing a good morning or a hey, how are you? Or any of those basic civil kindnesses that used to be normative in our society that are just virtually gone. I'm sorry, church, that I don't have something more profound for you on Sunday morning. I know you're looking at me like right now, Pastor, could you come up with anything better? And I want to remind you, this is what Jesus told us. These are Jesus' words. Jesus' words are, in every situation, in every aspect of your life, in everything you do, in everywhere you go, in every single scenario that you can conceive of, treat people the way you would want them to treat you. How many in this auditorium had an angel deliver you the gospel? An angel from heaven delivered the gospel to you. An angel from heaven delivered the gospel. It wasn't a human being. You got an angel that brought you the gospel. An angel. So not many, right? Nearly everyone in this room had another human being bring you the gospel. Are you thankful that that person brought you the gospel? Yes or no, church? I'm asking for some participation this morning. Yes or no? Okay. Why don't we start treating people the way we would want to be treated then? Can you imagine a scenario whereby no one shared the gospel with you? No one? No one shared the gospel with you? No one? They just kept it to you? Self? Simple idea, isn't it? A simple idea. Do you know Jesus? I mean, we virtually can go on and on with examples of this very idea. In every situation, in everything, treat people the same way you want them to be treated. Mom and dads with two children, two boys, two girls, a boy and a girl, grab this idea all week long and emphasize it at home. Every situation, fighting over toys, chores situations, they're inner fighting. You got three of them over here, Daniel. Surely they don't always get along. Treat your sister the way you would want to be treated if you were the sister. Treat your brother the way you would want to be treated if you were the younger brother. Treat your brother the way you would want to be treated if you were the older brother. This is hard, isn't it? This is hard, isn't it? This is not easy to do. What's the starting point for this? What is the starting point for this? What is the starting point for this idea? I would suggest to you it's empathizing with the other person. It's empathizing with the other person. Come on, folks. Let me remind each and every one of you that you are and we are and I am and we are so incredibly blessed in this church because of our great God. We need to forget about the fact that I got this promotion and I pulled myself up by my bootstraps and I wouldn't be homeless if they didn't have that and I wouldn't be then. And it's so self-serving, it does nothing but breed of self-righteousness. How many picked your gender this morning? How many picked your gender? You remember when God asked you what gender you wanted and you said, I'd rather be a man than a female God. How many of you picked your gender? None of us did, right? How many picked your skin color? How many of you said, I don't want to be black, I want to be white? How many said, I don't want to be white, I want to be black? Did you pick your skin color? Did you pick your gender? How many said, I want to be born to a really solid biological parents who love Jesus and they'll teach me the gospel? That's the kind of home I want to be born to. I'm trying to get us to understand this morning that all of us, me, you, and every one of us need to get off our self-righteous high horses and realize how much of where we're at is because of God's providence. Do you know that every one of us could have easily been an immigrant trying to fight our way through the border in Texas, Arizona, and New Mexico? All of us could have been. Bless God, I'm an American. Whoa, keep them out of my good country. And somehow we feel like that's a godly thing. Folks, the starting point to treating people the way you want to be treated is by putting yourself in their shoes. What would it be like to be a cashier at Walmart 9 hours a day? What would it be like to do these difficult jobs like serving tables all day long? You go to your restaurant. What would it be like? I mean, folks, we have Uber drivers, I mean, whatever the latest name is, that deliver food to our very houses. I mean, we're living in a level of spoiledness that is inconceivable to humanity. You can just pick up the phone. You don't even pick up a phone. You don't have to talk to somebody. You can pull an app up and get whatever you want brought to your house. I read an article this morning because I had more time since I didn't have 8:30 service this morning. I read an article this morning about tip baiting. Tip baiting. I guess on these apps, you can tell the driver how much the tip's going to be. So you entice them with a higher tip, and then you reverse it afterwards. And then you justify yourself because they didn't get here fast enough. But I tell you, I'm going to deliver a $20 tip. So the driver's like, I want to get that $20 tip. So he hustles or she hustles. And then you flip it at the end. What I'm trying to say to you is that this verse has profound implications in every single area of your life. Can you imagine promising John somebody a $20 tip to get you your sandwich, and then you flip it to $5 afterwards and you jip them out of that $15? Treat people the way you would want to be treated if you were a delivery driver. Do you know that we have ranchers? And I know that immigration has problems. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I know that immigration has problems. I know that there are ranchers that are impacted in Texas and the border states because of the problems. I'm not living under a rock. I know what's going on. But do you know that we actually have them out there slicing the water sources that people are leaving so that they dehydrate? Don't call yourself a Christian and take away somebody's water. Are y'all getting what I'm saying? The Christian church lost an incredible testimony to the cause of Christ as we enslaved an entire people group and then somehow tried to justify it biblically. Instead of saying to ourselves, I'm going to treat you like I would want to be treated if I was a slave brought over on a boat from Africa. What is Matthew 7:12 often referred to? The golden rule. And it would do us well to bring this screaming back into our homes. It would do us well to bring this screaming back into our lives, to get it back on Facebook, to get it back on TikTok, to get it back on Instagram, to get it back on the windshield, I mean the mirror of our houses. The reminder, Matthew 7:12, treat others the way you would want to be treated. Matthew 7:12, treat others the way you would want to be treated. I'm going to a restaurant. I'm going to treat my server the way I would want to be treated. I'm going to wherever you go. I'm going to the doctor's office. Treat others the way you would want to be treated. Julia DeZama is one of the doctors in our congregation, seeing anywhere between 15, 20, 25 patients in a single day. Do you have any idea how difficult that job must be? Can you imagine seeing 25 different sick people? I mean, they're not coming in to see you saying, you know what, I'm just healthy as can be, and I just want to see how your day's going today. They come in, and you know what they do? They dump. And then they expect what? A solution instantly. I'm just suggesting to you that we would do ourselves so well if we would begin to put ourselves in the shoes of the person that we're interacting with. David Caldera back over here is in law enforcement. I can't even imagine being a police officer in today's world right now. I can't even imagine how difficult that must be. I can't imagine being a spouse of a police officer and wondering, is he or she coming home today? Nearly every single day, there's something in the news about a police officer losing their lives. It's happening nearly daily. So this means that when I encounter law enforcement, I need to treat that law officer the way I would want to be treated. It starts with dignity. It starts with respect. It starts with obedience. I'm telling you, church, it's not profound, but it's incredibly applicable. It's not profound. Nothing really amazing this morning. Just really applicable. Really applicable. Is the king saying, I've been nice to you, so now be nice to me? No, that's not what the king is saying. This is not about pleasantries. This is a legitimate idea. We are going to cohabitate on this big chunk of land. You have servants, you have flocks, you have animals. I too have servants, I too have flocks. Now, how are we going to live together in this area? How are we going to interact? Unbeliever and believer, how are we going to get along? Abimelech wants fairness. Abimelech wants mutual kindness. He wants loyalty. He wants justice for both sides. And ultimately, he's asking for peace between himself and Abraham. I get this all for this whole unpacking this idea as I have dealt with kindness with you. This is a peace agreement. I did not kill you. I did not attack you. I did not keep your wife. The king says, treat me with the same kindness that I treated you. Let's say it like this. I didn't cuss you out. Because I know most of us aren't going to kill someone this week. Probably small probability that there'll be any murders this week in the congregation. Yeah, Jesus says to us, that if we do the same thing with our mouths, it's murder. He brings us to the highest level standard. So we need to live our lives in such a way that we can say, I've never cussed you out. Why are you cussing me right now? Isn't that reasonable? I've never treated you so rudely. Why are you being rude to me? In other words, we raise the bar. We raise the bar. We show what right looks like. We are the walking, talking, living, breathing example of what it means to treat others the way you would want to be treated. How many know what a Mormon is? You know what the single characteristic that you will hear about Mormons more than anything else? Is that they are moral people. Over and over and over again, you will hear that about Mormons. It's just unbelievable. It doesn't matter what part of the world you're in, where you'll just hear it over and over again. Mormons are solid people, good people. And then we all say, but their Jesus isn't Jesus, and we're exactly right. But the problem is their testimony is better than our testimony. Shame on us. We have the truth. We have the true Jesus as our Savior. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. They don't, and yet their reputation is stronger than ours. How can this be? What's the only answer? We're not living this out. We're not living this out. Let me remind you. This is the value system that doesn't come from Darwinian evolution. This idea of treating others. Monkeys don't treat other monkeys the way they would want to be treated. Alligators don't treat other alligators the way they want to be treated. Gorillas don't treat. A pack of wolves don't treat wolves like I would want to be treated. You know, yesterday you got to eat first, so today I'm going to hang back and let you have the lamb first. That doesn't happen in Darwinian evolution. Why are you bringing this to our attention? Because if you send your child to a public school system, don't expect them to learn this in school. It starts where? In the
home.
It starts where? In the
home.
In the home. In the home. We are the ones that are continually bringing the value system of right and wrong to our children. Don't count on the school system to do it. Don't count on Sunday school to do it. Don't count on the public school system to do it. You bring in this value system, mom, dad. So Abraham said, I will swear. I will swear. So what is Abraham agreeing to? Number one, no deception between us. No deception, nothing but honesty between the king and himself. Number two, Abraham will treat the king and his people in the same way he desires Abimelech to treat himself and his clan. And number three, there will be peace between them. That's the covenant. That's the covenant of Abraham and Abimelech. Romans 12:18 says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. As much as possible, live at peace. As much as possible, get along with folks. As much as possible, be that one human being that can get along with two different people. Be that one human being that's a good neighbor to everybody in your neighborhood. How about the way we drive? How about the way we drive? On the roads, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. What does that mean? It means yielding and letting someone out. It means using your turn signals, which I don't do enough of. And I appreciate it when my wife reminds me to use your turn signals. Why? Because turn signals are about treating others on the road the way you would want to be treated. I know that seems so ridiculously petty and not high theological, yet it's so practical, isn't it? Before the covenant can be agreed to, one final issue must be dealt with. And Abraham brings it up. This is when Abraham reproved Abimelech about a well of water that Abimelech's servants had seized. So he lodges a complaint. He's like, I'm going to agree to this covenant. I'm definitely going to agree to this covenant. Yes, I'll be honest with you. We can live at peace, but we've got this small issue we need to deal with. I dug a well, and your servants have now seized control of that well. I dug a well. Now again, you got to remember, how big a deal is a well to a bunch of ranchers, farmers? It's life, isn't it? It's life and death. A well is a really big deal. So Abraham made a covenant to treat Abimelech in the same way he would want to be treated. And so now he follows the Matthew 18 protocol before Jesus even spoke it. The Matthew 18 protocol. You know what the Matthew 18 protocol is, right? The Matthew 18 protocol. Every church member should know what the Matthew 18 protocol is. Every one of us. Turn to Matthew 18. Should be real close to where you're at. Matthew 18. Again, Matthew 18, verse 15. Verses that need to be underlined in our Bible. Verses that need to be underlined in our Bible. Matthew 18, verse 15. Again, super familiar text, one that just needs to be memorized. If your brother or sister sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you've gained your brother. If he listens to you, you've gained your sister. This is incredibly easy to read and so difficult to do. Lodge your complaint. Tell him his fault. Tell him her fault. Preacher, I know you saw me and you didn't shake my hand. We made eye contact and then you just walked right by me. You don't like me anymore? We don't do that though, do we? We got to tell an elder about it. We got to tell a deacon about it. We got to tell our wife about it. What are we supposed to do, church? Go to the person. Go to the person. This is hard. It's really hard stuff. This is not for adults. This is for teenagers. This is for young people. Your daughter comes home from school complaining about Johnny. Your Johnny comes home from school complaining about the daughter. What should be the first thing out of your mouth? Have you talked to him about it? Have you talked to her about it? I'm trying to show you this morning that Matthew 18, 15 is applicable to 4-year-olds and 40-year-olds and our oldest member of the congregation. Every single time in this church, someone comes to you with a complaint, the first thing out of your mouth should be, have you talked to them about it? Have you talked to them about it? How did that go when you talked to them about it? Well, I haven't. Your immediate response must be at that point, well, I can't talk to you until you talk to them about it. Once you talk to them about it, we can have a conversation, and I'll be happy to go back with you to hash this thing out. But you must follow the Matthew 18, 15 protocol. That's what Abraham does. Jason and I have got the agreement we're going to make. We cohabitate on a piece of land that we share, livestock. I dug this well. Jason's now using the well. I'm getting ready to get into an agreement with him, but the first thing we need to decide before we can do this, what about this well, Jason? Jason's retort is, I didn't even know about it. And I'm telling you, folks, so many times our petty little issues that we create in our minds are unknown to the other person. Are unknown. And the longer we allow them to fester, the bigger they get when they could just be resolved. Like, Marcus, I didn't know that you were, no, I didn't even notice you. You didn't notice me? No, I didn't even notice you. What do you mean you didn't notice me? I saw you looking at me. No, actually, I was looking at doctor behind you. I know that sounds so ridiculous, church. I'm using a silly, petty little example to try to talk about a larger thing. And if you're honest, you know this applies to you. Maybe not in church, but at work, in the home, in different situations. Come on. We've got to lodge our complaints. So look at Abimelech's response in verse 26. He says, I did not know who has done this thing. You did not tell me. I've not heard of it until today. How long has this been going on? Has it been a week? Has it been a month? How long have you been upset at me about this? I didn't know that you were upset at me about this. I had no idea that my servants were using your well. I can't fix something until I what? You guys are leaders. There are so many leaders in this auditorium. There are literally leaders everywhere. Nearly every single pew is full of leaders. Teach the people that you work for that they must come to you with their issues. You can't solve what you don't know about. You can't help them with what you don't know about. You're an army guy this morning. Your pastor has given you leadership 101 this morning. You're getting a great leadership lesson this morning if you're an army guy. Insist that your subordinates come to you directly when they have an issue with you. Don't allow them to go around the whole unit festering an entire climate of division when it could have been resolved by one-on-one confrontation. So now Abraham takes sheep and oxen and gives them back to Abimelech, and the two of them made a covenant. This is really strange. Let's unpack this. You recall previously in chapter 20, verse 14, that when Abimelech gave back the wife, he gave him servants, he gave him sheep, he gave him oxen, and now Abraham is reciprocating. Abraham is reciprocating. He's insisting that the relationship not be only one way. Abraham is now giving back to the king female ewe lambs. E-W-E. Is that how I pronounce it? Okay, thank you so much. Abraham is not expecting something for nothing. I would like to end here. This is where I want to end. I know we only have 4 minutes. Please, parents, listen to me. You need to teach your children the most fundamental lesson. And if I heard it one time, I heard it from my dad 100 times. Money doesn't grow on trees. I heard it over and over and over again. It taught me the fact that if I was going to get anything in life, I had to work for it. We are living in an entire generation of people that believe they're entitled to everything. And that the federal government should just be mailing them checks and dishwashers and vaccines and test kits and everything that they need to have a good life. You say, where are you getting this from? Abraham gives Abimelech 7 female sheep to seal the deal that this is his well. This is his well. This is not your well, this is my well. He goes on to say, let me show it to you. He goes on to say, what is the meaning of these 7 female lambs that you've set apart? What is the meaning of this? These 7 you female lambs that you will take from me, that this may be a witness for me that I dug this well. So when the transaction occurs, I'm going to give you 7 female lambs. When you receive the 7 female lambs, Jason, you're saying, I understand that the well belongs to you, Pastor Sean, not me, Jason Allen, and my family. There's an exchange that happens, and the exchange validates the transaction. Abraham is not expecting something for nothing. He wants the well. He knows he needs the well. His survival is based on the well, but he doesn't expect you to give him the well for free. So the first thing I want you to teach your children is to treat their siblings and their classmates and everyone they interact with the way they want to be treated. And then the second thing, and this is really simple, this is super simple, ridiculously simple, is there's nothing free in this world. There's nothing free. And someone says, our salvation is free. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. The Bible clearly teaches that you were bought with a price. That you were bought with a price. The Son of God left the glories of heaven and took on human flesh and suffered as a sinner so that you and I could be saved. It cost him everything up to his life. We need to start teaching our children and ourselves and the world that we live in that the government is not the solution.
That's right. That's right.
The government is not the solution.
Amen.
That there's nothing free. That there's nothing free. Abraham said, I dug this well, We dug this well. Water wasn't going to come bubbling out of the ground. It had to be dug. Water came up from this well because we dug it. Your servants took it. But it was our well. We had ownership of this well. But to make sure that we clearly know whose well this is, when you take these 7 female lambs that'll all produce more lambs and will really do well for you, when you take those, you're shaking the hand that this well is now my land. This is my well. I say all that to say to you that Abraham wasn't a socialist. He understood in private ownership. And he wasn't expecting anything for what?
Nothing.
For free. Let's go home. Father in heaven, super easy things to talk about. Really hard things to live out. Really hard things to live out. And we're so thankful, oh God, that your Holy Spirit lives in us to help us to live it out. And we're so thankful, oh God, that when we don't live it out, that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So for that, Jesus, we praise you. We love you so much. We pray, oh God, for your blessing upon our church in the year 2022 and upon our lives and our families. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.